Okay, we started last week, and we're going to use this illustration probably repeatedly as we start each message in this series, because I like it. But I mentioned last week that I was at, I think it was a Denny's, and we were with the Schaefers, Helen and I, and we were at a conference. And Laverne Schaefer was sitting across of us, and he got one of those Denny's menus. And the Denny's menus are like thick vinyl, and they got pictures on them. So it'll say, let's say, BLT, and it'll have a picture of it, of what you're going to get. Or it'll say a deluxe hamburger, and it'll show you what it has there. And we were at the restaurant, and it's a good illustration of what we're looking at, because Laverne went to the waitress, said, "What do you want?" And he said, "I want this." And so she looked at the thing he was pointing to on the menu and wrote down, I don't remember what the item is. Maybe Gene remembers, but I don't remember what it was. But he pointed at a picture, and let's just say it was a sandwich of some kind. And he pointed at that, and she wrote on the menu, let's just say bacon, lettuce, tomato. So BLT. And he said, "No, what I want is that." And he pointed to the picture, and he said, "And I want it to look just like that." How many times do you order something that looks on the menu, and then when you get it, it doesn't look anything like the picture? You might get a shriveled up little patty, a couple of little fries. You know, it's not what is depicted as this big, juicy, run down your face sandwich that you get. Well, we looked at last week that one of the ministries that the Holy Spirit is doing right now is he's changing us from glory to glory, from different opinions. He's changing us as we, God has an opinion of us in Christ, and he down here is from the inside out. He is changing us from the inside out into that same image. It's going to be just like what is pictured in God's mind as he sees Christ next to him. That's our future. We are going to be just like Christ. And not only are we going to be just like Christ, we're going to be up there by the Father's throne at his side in the future. We will be there and we will be like Christ. But right now, the Holy Spirit is changing us from the inside out according to that same image from glory to glory. And so what we're looking at in these pages and pages of notes we gave you, we're looking at what kind of things is their harmonious lifestyle that is like Christ that the Holy Spirit is working out of us. Now, having said that, there is a form of godliness that is in the world system and is in the churches that is not true godliness. It's not coming from the Holy Spirit. It's coming from another spirit. And so as we look at these things, we're going to be seeing what the genuine image, the image of Christ, who is the image of God, that we are being changed to, and look at it. And catch this, I didn't mention it to you last week, but it's so important. We're going to be going back over some of these things. These are many times internal things. The spiritual man is not discerned by anyone else. You can't tell what's going on in another person's mind unless they tell you, and you're still not sure because they could lie. So God knows who's spiritual. You know if you're spiritual. And one of the ways you're going to know if you're spiritual is by self-evaluation of these things that I started speaking about last week. There are results that the Spirit produces. They come from being spiritual. It comes from being Spirit-filled. Let's put it this way. When you are Spirit-filled, there are certain characteristics, and we were going over last week the internal characteristics, that are going to be evident to you. And they're to be evaluated by you. you will know if you're filled by the Spirit or not filled by the Spirit by, first of all, evaluating yourself mentally whether these characteristics are evident in your own mind. If they're not there, then what are you to do? Then based on your self-evaluation, you're to take the appropriate actions of the mind. You're to do certain mental activities so that you are spirit-filled. So, what I want to do to start is Tim read for us Colossians. I want to go there to Colossians 3:15. It's a very important verse. Now you have two different things in Colossians 3:15 and 16 are two different things. One precedes 15, precedes 16. By the way, that doesn't always happen. When I spoke in Wyoming, I told them, verse 21 comes before verse 20. And you wouldn't know that unless you knew Greek, but that's off the topic. Let's go to this. 15 comes before 16. And what does 15 say? So Colossians 3 was read to us this morning. It says, and let the peace from Christ or from God rule as an umpire. I'm not speaking on peace today. I'm going to borrow some things from Pastor Schaefer in Sunday school. We could spend a whole week or month of messages just on this verse, but we're not doing that today. We want one thing out of this. So we're in Colossians 3:15, and he says, let the peace from Christ rule as an umpire. That word rule as an umpire is the word for a field judge. This is the guy running around. And I think I heard two of the saints arguing downstairs about field judges. Sometimes they make mistakes. But here is peace. Peace that's going to rule as an umpire, a field judge in your heart. It says in the heart. Now, what is the heart? The heart is where you have your person, the mind, and the will. So it's the place where the person thinks and makes determinations. So peace is going to rule as a field judge, an umpire, in the heart as you're thinking and going to be making decisions. That's enough for that. I don't want that in this verse. Let's go on. So he says, unto which peace indeed you have been called. You've been called unto salvation to have this in your life in one body. And now is the end part of this verse that I want. Notice what he says here. And be ye thankful. That word be is you come to be in existence. It's a state of being verb. It's a middle voice, which means you need to do it. So you are responsible. You become what? Thankful. One thing it doesn't tell you in this immediate verse, what's it not telling you? How do you become that? Picking up where we left off last week. I'm trying to build. Last week I mentioned to you, many people have this idea that they just sit here and they have a circumstance that comes in their life and they say, be thankful, Lord. You got to be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. And they get this idea that they're going to make themselves thankful. Doesn't work that way. You becoming thankful is actually discussed in this context, but not right here. We're going to come back to this in just a minute. Let's go back to where we were last week in Ephesians chapter 5. So keep your finger here, but go back to Ephesians chapter 5. So Paul told, by the way, Paul wrote Ephesians and Colossians very possibly what? On the same day or right in the same time period, because they were all sent. Ephesians, Colossians, and what else? Philemon were all sent by Tychicus in a little satchel across the Roman Empire. Amazing. He probably wrote these two books either on the same day or in the same week and sent them out. And so as he writes this in Ephesians chapter 5, I'm in 4, I'm saying, how come I can't find the verse? Okay, 5:18. And stop being drunk with wine, by wine. Stop using wine as something that's going to give you a state of euphoria and ease your troubles away. Whenever you watch TV and you watch the world system, as soon as something happens that's a little contrary or some trial that comes in your life, immediately the person says, I need a drink. And they're going to drown their troubles away with alcohol. By the way, this verse doesn't say you can't drink alcohol, but what it does say is that you're not to become what? Stop being continually drunk by wine. They were getting loaded. They were getting intoxicated. They weren't to be getting drunk. They weren't to find satisfaction and purpose and an attitude to get through life from artificial stimulation of alcohol or even like things like drugs. Popular marijuana right now in cookies and ice cream and everything else I see on TV. But he says it is in excess. It means it has no saving qualities. It's not going to enhance your life. I understand young people, especially teenagers in high school and young people in college, are getting loaded and bombed again. But not even just like when I was in college, but now they stupid people go and drink where they just down a whole bottle and many of them are dying. I mean, that's stupid. Just stupidity. Who's going to take a whole bottle of whiskey and just down it down and just keep drinking like that? I mean, yeah, you want to die? Go ahead. It's stupid. And it's certainly not God's will if you're a Christian. How do I know? What does this verse say? Stop being drunk with wine, which has no saving qualities. It's going to make your life worse. It'll make it worse. You start drinking, you start doing, it breaks down your inhibitions, and you start doing all kinds of stupid things that you wouldn't normally do. And then you gotta lie and cheat to cover yourself. Believe me, believe the scriptures. They're trying to look out for your welfare. Stop being drunk with wine, which has no saving qualities, but be continually being what? Filled by the Spirit. Now, being filled by the Spirit, there's going to be certain internal evidences that you'll know if you're Spirit-filled. This is where we were last week. These are the results of Spirit-filling. So what's the results of Spirit-filling? Verse 19. Speaking to what? Yourself. This isn't me telling you. This isn't me communicating to you. It's not me singing happy birthday to Robert. This is speaking to who? Yourself. This is a self-evaluation. It means you're responsible. You're responsible because only you know where your mind is. So you look at your mind and you say to yourself, Am I speaking to myself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and psalmizing in my heart? With the heart where your decisions are made to the Lord, the master of your life. We'll come back to this. Next thing, giving thanks. What did we read in Colossians 3:15? You come to be what? Thankful. And it was in what kind of voice? I know in Greek, middle voice. So middle voice is telling us who's responsible to do that. You are. Not me. I got a hard enough time doing this for myself. You're responsible for yourself. You have to do it. So it says in Colossians 3:15, you come to be in a state of being thankful. We put that together with Ephesians 5:18 and 19 and 20. How do you come to be thankful? Being filled by the Spirit. One of the inner traits of being filled by the Spirit is, it says in verse 20, you're going to be giving thanks always, at all times, on behalf of what? All things. I'm telling you, I got a lot to say on these verses. I don't know how much we're going to go, but I don't really care. I want to get across what the Spirit of God wants me to do. How long it takes us is indifferent to me, as long as I communicate it and you get it. What are you thankful here for? On behalf of what? All things. Does that mean everything? Every single thing under the sun is all always all? Or is all always regulated by the what? I know you've been taught this in the past. What do you have to look at to find out what is included in all? The context. Get that in the gray matter. All is never everything. It's what's in the context. We'll come back to this. You see how many things we got to come back to now already? All is regulated by the context. You're not thankful for being carnal. You're not thankful for lying in this context. You're not thankful for every single thing under the sun, but you are thankful for... See then, verse 15, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. You are to be thankful as you're redeeming the time, for the days are evil, buying up every opportunity, living for Christ. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, the results of the desirous will of the Lord. By the way, this is of the Lord, the head of the body, which is different than the Father. That's another story. I'm trying to show you the depth of God's Word and how you have to look at God's Word and start making distinctions. This is the result of the direst will of the Lord, the head of the body. Now, as you're redeeming the time, as you're walking accurately and not as fools, as you're being Spirit-filled, now, as you're doing those things, and yes, sometimes crummy things happen to good people. Sometimes really tough times come to Christians that are Spirit-filled. But in those, on behalf of them, when you are Spirit-filled, what are the one indication to who? Not to you. One of the indications to Orin. This is a mirror. This is a reflection that Orin can take this word and he can reflect and look at Orin and say, Orin, what's going on in your life right now? Are you Spirit-filled? Are you not Spirit-filled? And one of the indications to Orin is, am I singing and making melody in my heart as I'm redeeming the time? as I'm walking circumspectly, as I'm buying up every opportunity, as I'm acting wise to the Lord's will for my life right now, as I'm doing these things, am I thankful? Or as I gave you the illustration, true story, she's there. She knows the story. We were going to be late for an appointment. I thought we were going to be late. We actually were right on time. And we hit the biggest, roughest traffic jam I've ever seen, and we weren't even moving. And I had been racing and cutting in and out, which was wrong. And then when I got into that traffic jam and I saw it's absolutely impossible, I'm not going to make the meeting, I took my hand. I don't know, did I hit the dashboard or the steering wheel? Steering wheel. See, I told you she was there. And I went and I went, oh! Just slammed that sucker. And my wife was just sitting there, just like she is now. Just like she is now. She looked at me, yeah, just like with those eyes. And she went, you're carnal. Ooh. You see, you can't tell if a person's spiritual, but you can tell if they're what? If they're not spiritual. And so immediately, Oren went and took the mirror. It says, if I'm spiritual, what am I going to be? Giving thanks on behalf of all things, even a traffic jam. Trying to get her to a meeting. So I turned to my lovely twinkling eyes wife and I said, you're right. And then as I got my mind, which we're getting to where it should be, the Holy Spirit put thoughts in my mind. And the thought that the Holy Spirit produced in my mind is saying, you should thank the Father. And so then I did begin to thank the Father for that traffic jam. By the way, I'm not going to say this is always going to happen, but the traffic jam all of a sudden vanished. I always say things like this, and then Helen says, you always say that. And I said, because it's true. I said, it was satanic. Satan put all those unsaved people just to jam me up and get me to where I wasn't thinking right. But the Word of God says, if I was thankful, is one of the indications, if I'm doing God's will, I'm going to be thankful on behalf of all things in that will. There's one other thing we covered last week, then we'll go back to Colossians. All of these traits, singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks unto God and submitting unto one another, these are inner traits that are going to accompany who remembers from last week. What did I say? These inner traits are going to be evident with what else happens if you're filled by the Spirit. Pastor Schaefer had something on the board here this morning. He asked, he said, what did Pastor Oren say last week? This was the fruit from the Spirit. Oh, I'm too old. Don't cry. I'll be done soon. Okay. This is not to scale. One fruit, one product that the Holy Spirit produces. He produces, and all of these things work together to produce a certain kind of character. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, self-control. You looked and you sang those things before the Sunday school. one product. The Holy Spirit produces this. Your responsibility is to use these things, these nine aspects of the one product from the Spirit. You have to direct love correctly. You have to direct joy correctly. That's on the second and third pages of your notes. But here, this one product that's produced by the Spirit, when you're filled by the Spirit, He fills up a lacking in our life so that we can, He puts down the sin nature basically so that we can manifest characteristics of Christ, Christ-like character, godliness, the fruit of the Spirit. But Ephesians 5 said that there's going to be the one who is filled by the Spirit is going to be what? Singing? We haven't discussed what that is. What else is he going to be doing? Thankful. What else? Submissive. By the way, I think that order is important in Ephesians. When we get into these, you'll see why. We worship and praise, which gets our mind correctly oriented to who we're at in the third heaven. Then we thankful for whatever He allows in our life. And then we put into practice as we submit to one another in growing together. Back to this. This is so... By the way, what I'm telling you and why I'm emphasizing this, and Pastor Schaefer and I met this last week, this is the results of Spirit filling. It's not Spirit filling. This is the results. This is what the Spirit of God is going to produce when you're Spirit filled inside of you. These are inner traits, and these are traits that you're going to use and express to others. But as you're doing the fruit from the Spirit and you're Spirit filled, you're going to have these things. So if you're using love, when you're using love and directing it at another believer, what else are you going to be doing? You're going to be praising and worshiping God. I haven't proved that yet. What else are you going to be doing if you're directing love, the fruit of the Spirit? What are you going to do? You're going to be giving thanks. So thankfulness, singing, submission are going to be accompanying every one of these things. So if I'm directing joy, if I'm directing peace, if I'm directing love, I am going to appreciate what God is doing by grace because thankfulness is going to be associated with every one of these nine aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. So I will have appreciation for meekness. I will have an appreciation for long-suffering. I will have an appreciation for joy when I fall into various temptations. Why? Because these are inner traits that accompany all of this. They all are the results of a Spirit-filled life. So I can, my illustration, slamming the steering wheel. I can evaluate myself and say, something's wrong, Oren. Something's wrong. You're not thankful. If I'm not thankful, then there's something wrong with my mind. My mind is not oriented correctly to God and His Word concerning His grace. let's put it a better way. I'm not correctly oriented to the Spirit because I'm not Spirit-filled. So the Spirit is probably either quenched or grieved. He's not doing this. So these are self-evaluations. I'm spending time here because this is what's going to help you when you get out that door. When you guys are at school, I'm not going to be there with you, but I'm hoping that what I do right now, I'm going to haunt you. I'm going to haunt you. And you and you and all of you. That you're going to remember me sticking my face in this Bible and saying, I got to evaluate myself by this word. And I hope that sticks in your mind that you'll go back to the word and look at it and be haunted that I'm not right. I got to get my mind right. These aren't for me to evaluate others as much as it is to evaluate myself, because these are inner traits that work in your heart to yourself. You know what's going on in your mind. And so, if you're not praising and worshiping God, and you're not thankful, and you're not submitting, we haven't got to that either. We got to go through submission because, as Pastor Schaefer said this morning, there's a lot of crud being taught on that. It's unbelievable. I've been studying it. This is submission to one another in this context. It's not all submission in the whole New Testament. There's submission to political leaders, which is different. Submission to political leaders is for conscience sake. You better read the context. I did. This is to one another for mutual benefit of growth. Different submissions. And certainly now what I just read recently, some guy said this is a military term, and if you're filled by the Spirit, then you're going to submit your will to other people and surrender it. No, 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 no. We'll get to that. Are we all together on this? These are in Ephesians 5. This is Galatians. We haven't got there yet. But these are results of a Spirit-filled life. And you'll have this. And you can self-evaluate your own mind. And if you find your mind is lacking, what do? Get it right. If it's a little tweaked out of whack, then tweak it back. Back to Colossians. Do you still have your finger there? That's a long time. Jan said he does. What a guy. Colossians 3. Do you still have feelings in the finger? 3:15. Isn't it nice to have just a little church family we get together, rather than... By the way, I spoke, and this is not for bragging, it's just showing you the context. I spoke to over 1,000 people once in Portland. What's the name of that church next to Multnomah School of Bible? What was it? That's when we broke down and we pushed the car down 82nd Street, all dressed up. That was funny. It was pretty. She had a dress on. I had my suit. I had to speak, and the car wouldn't start. And so nobody would help us. So we pushed the car down 82nd Street, and then both of us jumped into each seat, and I popped the clutch, and it started up. Cool. And then we went to the place and spoke to over 1,000 people. Believe me, that's nothing compared to this. This is better. This is better. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts as a field judge, in which also you are called in one body, and you come to be by your middle voice, you're responsible, thankful. How do you do that? Ephesians 5:18. Was that correct? Be spirit-filled. 18 to 20. Be spirit-filled. That's how you come to be. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now what does it say? I'm showing you some changes. This is how you have to read the Word of God. Be like a detective. Look at it. Evaluate it. Now it says, what are you to do? In the other verse, it says, you come to be thankful. Now in verse 17, it says, you do what? I don't know. Am I the only one who sees it? Give thanks. I wrote in your notes that thankfulness begins first by the Holy Spirit producing in your mind the thoughts, the desires He places in your mind. When you're spirit-filled, He is the one who, from the Spirit, a product of being spirit-filled, you'll become thankful. Actually, the desires of the new nature will come up. And they'll come into your mind. Now what do you have to do? So you come to be thankful by what? Being spirit-filled. Now in verse 17, what do you do as the Spirit of God is filling you and you now have a thankful heart? Now you're responsible to take that thought that's in your mind from the Spirit. And now what do? You communicate it. So thankfulness is an attitude of the mind when you're spirit-filled that you come to be thankful. It's an attitude that's produced by the Spirit of God because you're spirit-filled. And then in verse 17, I got to sit down. Then in verse 17, you communicate that thankfulness to God the Father. You then express it. So as a Christian who is seated in Christ, the Holy Spirit inside of us, because of regeneration and we're spirit-filled, He places in the mind of Christ, as we're spirit-filled, an attitude of thankfulness. Now, because we're in Christ at the right hand of the Father, we can now turn to our Father and we can communicate that thanks to Him. So thankfulness is both an attitude of mind and an expression to the Father. Whew, got it out. Okay? Trying to build here. So thankfulness begins as an attitude produced in a spirit-filled Christian, where that Christian comes to be thankful. Then in verse 17, we communicate that thankfulness to the Father. All right. This is from Pastor Schaefer in Sunday School. This is my lesson plan for today. This is what we've covered. All right? I'm guilty. But if the Spirit of God is going to use it to teach something from His Word, it doesn't matter. But now that we're in Colossians, let's go. We've got 5 minutes. How do I get my mind oriented correctly to be spirit-filled? Well, first of all, if we have sin in our life, what do we have to do? 1 John 1:9. Let's go real quick. So if you're grieving the Holy Spirit because you have unconfessed sin in your life, what you have to do is, as the Holy Spirit's grieving you, He's sad. He's grieving in your heart. He's not doing what He's sent to do, but rather, we have unconfessed sin in our life. What should we do about it? Confess it. Man, that's pretty simple. Just say about the sin exactly what God says. I did it. I'm responsible. And He forgives it. It's no longer an obstacle. For 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what's the very, if you have unconfessed sin in your life, then you're grieving the Holy Spirit. So you need to confess that sin. That means you say about the sin exactly. It's not saying, God, I'm sorry, I'll do better next time. No, now we probably just lied. You say, God, I did it, and I'm responsible for it. I did it. If you want to say something, by your grace, I'll succeed to be more godly and Christ-like. But confession is just seeing the sin as God sees it and say, I did it. Fess up. That's your word. Fess up, and He forgives. That word forgive means He sends it away as an obstacle. The Spirit's not grieving anymore. Now He can come in as you get your mind oriented. You got your mind where it should be. Where is that? Well, let's go to Romans 8. My 5 minutes is vanishing. Romans 8. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who order the activities of our life not according to, not coming down from the flesh, the sin nature, but what? Are walking after the Spirit, coming down from the Spirit. Now, how do you do that? For they that are coming down from the flesh, they do mind. They restrict their mind to the things of the flesh. But they that are walking, that are according to, coming down from the Spirit, the things from the Spirit of God, there's an ellipsis there, they're restricting their mind to. So you fess up your sin, and then you have a choice. You can either restrict your mind to things that come from the sin nature, or you can restrict your mind to things that come from the Spirit. Colossians chapter 3. You still got your finger there? No, I didn't tell you. Let's go back to Colossians 3. I'm going to show you one more change. By the way, that's just for free. This next part is freebie. 3, verse 1. If or since ye then be risen in Christ, keep on seeking those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. That word affection is your restriction of mind, your reflective thinking. You put restrictions on your mind where you say, I'm only going to let my mind go here, and restrict it so you reflect back in that restrictive framework. So you restrict your mind, Colossians 3 says, on what? Things above, where Christ sitteth. We heard in Sunday school some of the things that are above. He's just starting to build on that, but he's talking about the heavenly tabernacle. It is called the heavenly tabernacle because it ain't going to last. But the heavenly tabernacle. That's some of the things. What he taught in Sunday school are some of the things you can start thinking about. Things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Restrict your mind to that. By the way, what's that going to do? Not on things of the earth. When I restrict my mind to things on the earth, I'm trying to get my identity and who I am from the things that are down here. If you restrict your mind to who you are and your identity to here, you are going down. That comes from Marissa. We used to play a game, and she used to, that's Tim's cousin. She used to say, you going down, Tim. And she used to say that to him. Anyway, if you getting your identity from here, that identity that's out there is always changing. It's never consistent. If you're trying to find out who you are and what you are according to the values that are in the world system, you're going down because you're never going to be stable. And the will that's out there continually keeps changing. I'm off the topic. My time's up. We got to get this done. But my identity and who I am and where I'm going to be in the future when Christ takes me is up there in the third heaven. Who is Oren? In a nutshell, Oren is a son of God in Christ. And when I'm led by the Spirit, I'm manifesting myself as a son, but I'm a son of God, and I am a born one, a child of God. That's who I am. And I don't care what they say. I'm not just a pharmacist. They say, and I still have people contact me, oh, why don't you do this in pharmacy? My alma mater is still telling me, why don't you come to New York and attend this thing? No, that's not my identity. Who I am is Oren, and I am what God has made me by grace. I am His child, and I am His son. And if you're a Christian and you believe the gospel, that's the truth and the only truth. That's what you are. The other things are superficial. Paul said, the things that were gained to me, I counted as dung. That's a whole nother message. That's Philippians 3. But it's along this same line. So I get my mind on things above. And I restrict my mind on things above. So I fess up. I get my mind restricted on things that the Spirit of God has taught me of what's going on in the third heaven. Then real quick, because this we got to end with. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word concerning the Christ indwell in you richly. What's the difference between Colossians 3, 1 and 2 and this verse? This is inside, and I count it in my mind as something rich, something of value. And this is the word concerning the Christ, positional truth. The other is activities that are going on in the third heaven. I'm positioned on the throne. I'm at my Father's right hand. You start there. But then you go on to look at positional truth and count it as something of value. That's later on. I'm over time. So basically, we went through a lot of things today. Trying to help you folks. Trying to also look at the mirror for myself. If I'm Spirit-filled, the Spirit is going to fill up a lacking that I can't do. Paul said in Romans 7, what I want to do, I don't do. The Spirit of God can do that. We fess up our sin. We get our mind restricted on things above, because the ones who have their mind restricted on things of the Spirit are going to order activities of their life according to the Spirit. And as I'm Spirit-filled, the Spirit of God's going to produce, we got to get through this yet, a singing heart, a thankful heart, a submissive heart, which is all going to accompany all nine aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Father, thank you for these folks. Thank you for allowing me to be their pastor. Thank you for the life that you have given us, both as your children, because Christ is in us, and then because we're in Christ, a resurrected life. Father, we ask that we might look at the Word of God and use it as something that we can peer into and reflect on our own state of mind, on whether we are correctly related to the Spirit or not correctly related. And we know which is true. Thank you for this Word. Look forward to what things you're going to have for us today. In Christ's name, amen.